gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 33 for New Comic Book Day, December 7th, 2016. I'm your host, Ken, and sitting here with me in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, super friends.
So, Vern, how's your weekend been? I mean, we're running late this week, but how'd you do for this weekend?
Christmas, school, more Christmas. took an exam. Getting close to that time of the year, and it also means more Christmas. Me and Mom were putting up lights for the past 2 days. We're almost done. We just have to put up our tree, and we're done. But our outside looks beautiful.
Awesome. Now, obviously, super friends, we're running a little late this weekend. Vicky actually had an art show Saturday, which was a total bust, and it was like 60 degrees in the hall the whole day. But it just nobody showed up to it. And then I've been sick all weekend, so we didn't get a chance to get together, but we are together now, and like we said a couple weeks ago, we're promising to give you guys a new show every week, if at all possible. So as long as Legion of Doom doesn't take us captive, we will try to have a new show out here. But I actually did something kind of fun yesterday.
What'd you do?
I got to actually do a guest spot on another podcast.
Ooh.
I was over at the Geekville Radio podcast with Seth and Crazy Train. Now, Seth, you met over at Con on the Cob a couple weeks ago.
Right, yeah, a couple weeks back. So you got to talk about some wrestling too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked on the show, we talked all about the DC crossover event Invasion, which we're going to talk about some here tonight too. But then afterwards, Crazy Train is a wrestler that started wrestling about 10 years before I did. So he started in the mid-90s in the South, when all the guys from the 70s and 80s, all the NWA guys and stuff, were still running around in the South and doing all the independent stuff.
Man.
So he has all kinds of stories about Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes and Ricky Morton and all those guys.
That's awesome. I wish I would have done that now.
Yeah. And we sat there for an hour talking about it.
Nice.
And Nisa's,
sorry, that's my dog.
Yeah, doorbell Nisa just went off.
Yeah, man, that's why she's barking. Sorry about that, guys.
It's all good. But, yeah, that was fun. Anybody who wants to check out the show, it's actually was released today on recording, which is December 5th, over at geekvilleradio.com. So check them out. You can also find them on Facebook and Twitter at A1Geekville. And let them know that you heard about them from Ken over at DC Superpowers. It'd be awesome. Get a little bit of cross-promotion with them going.
Sweet. All right. And I need to check that out to hear all the stories. As I said, I was watching TLC last night as well. One of the best pay-per-view pay-per-views from WWE this year, in my opinion.
Well, that's weird because now that they're doing, I wouldn't even call them pay-per-views anymore. They're they're bi-weekly mega cards.
Yeah, I think they said they're going to cut back on that next year too.
They kind of have to.
But there was something that happened on there last night that was a little bit of a comic book. Me and my friends were talking about Alexa Bliss, how she's Harley Quinn, but she also had to. A theme of the Riddler going on too, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, nice. Well, she's done some comic book themes of her colors for a little while off and on.
Yep, last night was Riddler, but she still had the Harley Quinn hair, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, but this isn't a wrestling podcast, even though it could be.
It could be. We could definitely turn into that.
We're actually going to be talking some DC crossover, some Invasion. So, Vernon, what do you know about the comic book Invasion?
Not too much. I knew the Dominators from what they were showing on the show were about the same. They took over the world because they were scared of them doing the same to them, so they had to get a step ahead.
Yeah.
And it was a lot longer, too.
Yeah, well, it was actually only 3 issues, but they were 80 pages each.
Yeah, and that was a lot of story.
And the thing was, that was early Todd McFarlane that did the artwork for two of them. And also, Keith Giffen did the writing. Keith Giffen is actually still writing DC Comics now.
Okay.
So, but it's weird because, like, the third comic in it kind of matches but doesn't match the first two. The actual Invasion part of Invasion happens in the first 2 issues, The third one is more about the gene bomb and the effects of the meta bomb on the world.
Okay.
Which is interesting because we didn't actually get to see the meta bomb go off in the movie or in the TV show.
No, we may get. I think the invaders are coming back though.
Oh yeah. Well, the way they did that was made it perfect for them to be able to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were Easter eggs and such all over this thing.
Oh man, favorites? Up and down the whole show. Well, my favorite one was the Hall of Justice.
Yeah.
Second one would probably be the one with, I'll say Brandon Ralph. He played Superman in 2006, if I'm correct. That was the right year for it. And, he told Felicity, man, she looks a lot like my cousin. It was like, oh yeah, that's right. You did play Superman. That technically was your cousin.
Well, like I've said on all the other shows and stuff. For 3 years, they have not put any references to him being Superman in the show at all. Not even little one-liners or anything.
They did one time. I forgot about it. That was when... Was it their first or second crossover? I want to say I think it was the first crossover. No, it had to be a second crossover. I'm sorry. Adam was flying through the city, and that was when him and Felicity was dating. And she's like, oh, that's my boyfriend. Is that? And they were like, is that a bird? Is it a plane? No, that's my boyfriend. And then okay. He busts down on the ground. He's like, hey, guys. I was like, oh, yeah, Superman. But I don't know if they caught that. And this time it was even more funny.
I remember that. Their look
on their faces. And I had to explain that to my mom. She didn't understand what he meant by cousin. We never seen his cousin. I was like, no, Mom, remember he was Superman?
Yeah. I thought he played a decent Superman.
Like I said, the movie itself was iffy. I thought he did a decent Superman. And also Kevin Spacey did a decent Lex Luthor. But yeah. The way the movie was, But I thought they both played their part. And as I said, they were styling off the old Christopher Reeves movies. And mm-hmm. They did that pretty good. But it was a different time era. And I just don't think the audience was feeling like they did in the 80s. That's why I had to change Batman, Man of Steel. You have to adapt to the culture.
One thing I didn't know was the prequel to this kind of was the Supergirl episode.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't realize that was their mid-season finale.
For Supergirl?
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, okay.
The rest of the shows are, their finales are this week coming up.
Right. Right. Okay. Interesting.
Now, what did you, going to Supergirl, let's start on the Supergirl show. Now, okay. We saw teased in the middle of the episode, because this was their Thanksgiving episode also, wasn't it?
Yes.
No, was it?
Yeah, because they were talking about how they never seen a time portal or whatever open up on Thanksgiving before.
When you first saw the portal open up above her dining room table, did you know what that was?
I did. I caught that when it first happened. I'm like, that's the... It's a barrier coming through there.
I didn't catch it initially. I saw that. I was like, oh, that's weird. What is that? I figured it had something to do with the crossover, but I didn't know exactly what it was. But the second time or the last time they did it, I knew exactly what it was, finally.
Yeah, I remember the first time because there was the same portal that they used in the first season of Supergirl, and that's the one that Vibe always earthed to if they need it.
What did you think of the initial look of... Well, no, we talked about it last week, didn't we? Because they showed the Cyborg Superman Mon-El fight in a preview. We talked about that last week, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
It still didn't... And I was hoping, and luckily they did pay it off, because that's what it was, because they didn't show what the difference was with that faceplate thing, the thing that made him look like just like Cyborg.
Right, I think that faceplate was just on there to be a faceplate.
Well, later on in that same fight, he pulls it off.
Right, and I'm like, there's Cyborg Superman. I'm still trying to get over. I did not expect them to bring Cyborg Superman to be Hank Henshaw. But... We did. It's funny because all the fans, including you and I, we were like, hey, I think Hank Henshaw is Cyborg Superman with the red eyes. Then turn out to be Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
Season 2. He is also Cyborg Superman.
Yeah. So he gets to play like 3 or 4 different characters total.
I can't think of the actor's name right now, but the guy who plays Harrison Wells on The Flash, I'm thinking, you're going to do the same. Yeah, he's going to do the same thing. It's like, how many versions of that character are you going to play?
That is fantastic. Tom Cavanaugh needs an Emmy just for playing Harrison Wells.
Yes, he does. I tell my mom that he's been playing so many different ones now. I think this is his fourth or fifth time playing Harrison Wells now.
Well, he played Eobard Thawne.
Right.
He played the original Harrison Wells.
Right.
He played the Earth 2 Harrison Wells.
Okay, so this is the fourth one.
He's playing this Earth 19 Harrison Wells. Now,
hello, Earthlings. I don't know why that was still funny to me. We don't talk like that. But we'll get more into Harrison Wells when we get to The Flash. My dog's cutting up right now.
Well, actually, we could get into, because for the invasion part of it, really all it was at the very end, Barry and Cisco show up to pick up Supergirl and head back to their Earth.
Right, and it was at the very, very end, and actually that scene is also going to be in about, 10 minutes of The Flash? That same exact scene where they picked her up and then they start showing how they got everybody else, which was a really cool montage, by the way.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Then we move on to Flash, and they open up with the scene everybody saw of Barry and Ollie being attacked by everybody.
Yeah, and when they start getting attacked, I liked how Supergirl was the one that actually phased through the wall. And he's like, what is that? Heat vision.
Yeah, because, you got to see, it's a totally different color than any of the energy beams he's seen from anybody else.
Right, and I'm so used to seeing it red, I forgot for a second. I'm like, who is that? I think that's Supergirl, and it was.
Yeah.
It was another Easter egg, actually, that was on, I guess, Supergirl and Flash's in between. She's from Earth 38, and it was 1938 where Superman first appeared, so that's why they called her.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
38.
Yeah, I didn't know, but I didn't catch that one.
Yeah, I went to Supergirl Easter eggs in the show, and I couldn't find that. But then I typed in Flash's Easter eggs, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. They did reference that on his show, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love when they put in little things like that.
Yeah, because it pays homage and it gives the fans something to pay attention to. It's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Flash is where we actually get to see the Hall of Justice for the first time. Now, did you remember scene that Barry actually owned Star Labs?
I forgot all about that, but I forgot Harrison Wells did leave that in his will.
Yeah, and it turns out the Hall of Justice here is basically just an airplane hangar.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed about that, but I said, you know what, we have to start from somewhere, and you know, we'll take that as an origin story. We were in the basement anyway, so.
Exactly. The cool thing with it being an airplane hangar, that means it's empty and they can fill it with anything they want to fill it with. They can turn it into the Hall of Justice when they're ready for the Justice League.
And that was I wonder if they'll ever call them the Justice League, but that was basically the Justice League, this whole crossover.
Well, yeah. We had everybody there.
Yeah, we did. We were missing a couple that I was talking about. I said Martian Manhunter.
We're missing the Trinity,
basically.
I really
wanted to see him.
Oh, we don't have Batman, Superman, or Wonder Woman. Everybody else is just about there. No Aquaman, but... So this is basically Justice League Europe.
Exactly. That was what I think they were trying to go for. And if you look at the characters they used, these were the characters they did use in Europe. Not the characters, but they were the same style. They weren't the main characters, but they were a big part of Justice League, which is not as important as the top seven.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing... Go ahead.
Only one from the main seven I said we were seeing was Flash, and I think that's why they left him to be the leader of the whole thing.
Yeah. It was interesting seeing that they proved and they showed there's a reason Supergirl is not in the same universe as the rest of these guys. She is way overpowered for their universe.
Right. And in hindsight, that makes complete sense. And as me and you were saying, the people that don't like the Supergirl, the Superman, or the Superman heroes in general, they're too powerful. They don't understand why they don't just do everything by themselves. They could literally save the whole world without any help.
Yeah.
So they did touch on that in a good way, and I applaud them for that.
Well, the cool thing is, like we've said on here before, if you do understand the Super Family characters, they are overpowered when it comes to just raw power, but there are other ways to defeat them.
Yeah. Just like what we saw on the show, Flash, once she became mind-controlled, Flash was able to outrun her and outsmart her. Even though she was under a mind control, he probably would have done the same exact thing if she had her own will.
Yeah.
I found out from Batman, the best way to beat a Kryptonian is to outsmart them.
Exactly. Well, also we saw the one thing that was cool was each of the shows, the Flash, Arrow, and Legends, which we'll get to Arrow and Legends in a minute, but all three of them basically still felt like an episode of Flash, an episode of Arrow, and an episode of Legends with extra characters in it.
Right, and that was a good aspect. I didn't know how they were going to go about it. I thought we were just going to see this part come back tomorrow and see another part. But they stylized it the same way for each show, just added a couple new characters in there.
So, now Flash was the episode they got everybody together. And right. They start training and figuring this out because they've been attacked.
Right, that was they were heading off. That was their real first episode. As we said, the Supergirl was an intro. And there's two more Easter eggs in Flash I want to hit before we go to Arrow.
Okay.
There was Mars Attacks. They said Mars Attacks. I did not put this together. Tim Burton made Mars Attacks, and he also was director of Batman.
Yes.
That was one. And the last one was the newspaper, Julie Greer.
Yes, the change of from Iris to Julie. Yes.
Right.
I did look up that name also.
Julie Greer is a reporter in headquarters of Keystone City. But in the comics, she's the character that works for a TV station, and she also made the comments to the son of Wally West and Linda Park. So, seeing her name kind of gives me a little hope to see that maybe somehow Wally and Linda will get together. I don't know how that would work. They're a couple years apart, but we'll see something maybe in a future Flash episode. They might go into the future and we get to see what Wally's life is like.
Yeah.
And see, maybe Barry.
I need to start buying some of the Flash comics after I had stopped. When I stopped in the mid-90s, I missed all of the Wally was not married yet. He didn't have any kids yet. I missed all of that.
It was so much that kept going on. The one I really came in on was the Bart part with Impulse and Kid Flash.
Oh, yeah.
Because Barry was still dead when I really got into comic books.
Yeah, when I stepped out, we already had Impulse, and he was in his own title with Max Mercury.
Okay, mine was more so for Young Justice and then Teen Titans.
Ah, okay. So I was there for the origin part.
Later on. And I got to see his death. That was pretty dark.
Yeah. So, but let's go. Arrow was another interesting one. Arrow was awesome because that was actually their 100th episode also.
Yeah, I told my... Oh, that was the 100th episode.
That's why you had all the people came back.
All the characters come back.
Robert Queen came back. Moira Queen came back. They kind of cheated Deathstroke. They cheated Deathstroke a little bit because all you got was him in a mask. So you didn't actually get Manu Bennett.
Yeah. But it was a heart-filled episode. I felt the same way about this episode as I did the Batman animated series when Mad Hatter basically did the same exact thing. It was like, here, I'm going to give you a reality where your family and everything's happy again, like you never became a superhero. So this is what life would be like.
It was basically Arrow, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, and they did that with Batman, and I think they did with another character. Oh, I'm thinking of Flash when he did Flashpoint. But, oh, no, I'm thinking of Justice League Unlimited with Superman's backstory, and we got to see what life would be like if he never had to leave Krypton.
Yeah.
I like to see it when DC does that because we get to see what the heroes actually really feel and what their dream are. Mm-hmm. But to go into that, what happened is the invaders abducted the humans. There were no superheroes or no metahumans, or what they called them. They abducted Adam, White Canary, Speedy, who else was it? Diggle and Green Arrow. And they're all in the same world. They're sharing the same mind and same thoughts right now, but they never became their superhero counterparts.
Yeah, they're basically in the same hallucination.
Right. That terrible night on the ship never happened. And this one would basically kept continuing if Ollie never got stranded on that island.
So basically,
his father's still alive.
Yeah.
Mother's still alive. And he's marrying Laurel.
You wake up on the morning of Ollie's getting ready to get married to Dinah Laurel Lance.
And I love how in this they gave us a little throwback to last season. He's running through the forest with his green hoodie on.
Yeah.
I didn't know where that was going. At first, I thought he was going to see Felicity again, but turns out it was Laurel. And they're getting married. And the funny thing is, White Canary comes in, and Laurel has on a necklace of the Black Canary. And once she said that name, that's when her memories start to trigger back. And Ollie just feels a weird vibe going on. Like, he's like, am I dreaming? Is this real? You could just tell something was off. But he gets mugged, and this reminded me of Batman. Did that to you too when his dad and him were walking down the alley and got mugged?
A little bit.
Well, him and his father were going down a dark alley, and as they were doing that, they got mugged. But the funny thing was, before they got mugged, there was a building that still had, was it Smoke Industries or Smoke Technology?
Smoke Tech.
Smoke Tech. Now, the funny thing is, if their memories are supposed to be before the ship crash, or the ship never crashed, then there would be no Smoke Industries because Ray Palmer would still own that. So that's what really tipped them off on something's not right here. And then also in this universe, Green Arrow saved, or not this universe, in this hallucination, Green Arrow is Diggle. Diggle saved Ollie and his father in the alley, and then once that happened, Ollie starts seeing visions of Laurel being dead, his parents being dead, something's not right here. He tries to tell Speedy, but she doesn't believe him. He goes to Diggle, and then Diggle also is working with Felicity at this time.
Yeah, that's the best part is when he kind of just goes down to the Arrow's lair, and they just kind of walks right in. They're like, hey, wait, how did you find out? How do you know this at?
Emergency, emergency, a breach. And Diggle was scary. I would not want to run to that guy with or without his mask.
Yeah.
But Ray is now engaged to Felicity. And what else was new in there? Merlin, because Ollie's father never died. they give a little name drop to that he is Speedy's father, Theo's father, because he says your father should be really proud of you.
Yeah. Because
in this world, he still knows that's his daughter, but no one else does except for him and the mother.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, they start to talk to each other, and they figure out that that building is what's really tipping them off that this is a fake universe or a fake reality. And they have to team up and overcome their love for this world because everything's perfect. But then again, it's not real, so why do you want to live here? The only one that wants to stay is Thea because she doesn't want to lose her family again. As they're getting ready to take off and leave and head to Smoke Technologies, Thea does come out and realizes she did lose her family, and she's not going to lose this one. She still has Ollie. So she's going to fight by their side. They basically beat all their, what did they call them? The bad memories.
Each of them had their own personal villain.
Right.
It's basically almost like they were fighting their own demons.
And that's what they had to do to escape. I think
so. They had Damian Dark showed up and took on Sarah. You had
Deathstroke.
Merlin takes on
Thea.
Deathstroke shows up to take on Ollie. But then it's weird because Ray really didn't have any demons, so he just had a couple of Mirakuru soldiers.
Right. Diggle had all the Slade Army guys, and that made sense.
Yeah, the Mirakuru soldiers. Well, he and Ray both had those guys.
Yeah, Ray just felt so out of place. He was like, I don't have anybody.
That's because Ray's just a nice guy.
He is. I think we need to see we need a villain for him. Somebody has a vendetta with.
Yeah.
But, by the way, and I forgot to mention this. We did get to see Cyborg Woman. I think that's her name.
Who?
Cyborg Woman.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Remember, in the reality, this was not in their dream world, but what was going on, because we got to see Vibe and who else was there? Was it Caitlin? No, I think it was just Vibe that came to Errol's secret lair, and he got to talk to Ms. Terrific,
yeah,
Wild Dog. But we did not get to see Artemis in here.
No, she wasn't there for some reason.
Yeah, but anyways, in the real world, they wanted to get some technology to take down the invaders, and the only technology that was available was taken by a woman that cybernetically enhanced her own body, and that turned out to be Cyborg Woman.
Okay, I've never heard of her. I know who you're talking about now, though.
I didn't either. I had to look her up. And as we said, Ken, they're tying in the TV shows and the comic books because it's either this week, I think it's this week, we're going to get what's her name? Sheborg? Female cyborg?
Okay.
We'll talk about that more on the show, but
they
are
playing
a character.
What book is she going to be in?
Cyborgs.
Oh, okay.
So she's going to be featuring this week's comic book, and also a character like her was also in the show last week. So DC's keeping up with that somewhere, even if it's a minor character.
Yeah.
But they defeat her, and they get the communication device so they can get back on the ship and find where they're at. So Felicity figures out where they're located in space, and as she's doing that, they were able to beat their demons, and they're coming back into the real world. But before they take off, Ollie looks back and he sees everybody that has passed in the show, and he remembers them all telling him how great of a man he was. He was always meant to be a hero. He never will back down. He'll always do the right thing.
Well, it's not just the people that have died though, because Roy and Felicity were there also.
Oh yeah, that's right.
What it was was it was all people he had lost.
Right, and
they symbolized loss for him.
I forgot. They did say that Roy was coming back, but not for too long. But, so they break free. And it's funny because when they broke out, they were all saying, oh, we can all fly a ship. Diggle, you've had military training. Me, I flew a ship before. White Canary flies the Legend ship. So does Ray. So they should all know how to fly this alien technology. None of them can figure it out except for Thea. That's never flown anything.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny. She's like, my mom said I wouldn't amount to anything because I never went to college. But so they get out, and that's basically the end of the episode. There was one more important part. As Ray was on the ship, he heard them have some type of interaction with each other, and he remembered exactly what they said in their language, and he told Gideon, and she said it, if I'm quoting this right, the weapon is almost finished, and they're trying to figure out what weapon, what are they talking about. And then that's when we go into Legends. But I think Arrow was my favorite one, just because we got to tap into their brain and got to see what they really feel, because we've seen what Barry really wants from the Flashpoint universe. Now we got to see a lot, not just Ollie, but a lot of other characters in the show.
Well, not just what they actually want. A lot of it is just their ideal situation, almost their ideal perfect life.
Right. Their happiness.
Exactly. So, but then you get into Legends, and Legends in this one was a legend episode of Legends. They do some time travel, they do some flying around, they do a lot of fighting. They finally figure out. Now during the episodes, we find out that remember Stein has been getting these headaches,
these migraines, and these visions of some random female.
Well, we find out the woman he's been seeing is his daughter that he didn't know that he had, because he didn't have one before he started messing with time.
Right, and I thought this was all Barry's fault, honestly. I said this is something from the Flashpoint. But no, this was Stein's fault when he went back, what was that, a couple episodes ago? About two episodes ago. When they went back in time, he met himself, and he told him, stop being such an idiot, stop neglecting your wife. She needs you, you can't just push her off like she's just some mere item. So, because of that, he felt he needed to be a little bit more romantic, and they have a daughter now. But
exactly.
He has no memory besides these pictures of her in his head. He doesn't know her attitude, doesn't even know her name, nothing. This is a completely new person to him. But to her, that's been her father since she can remember. And she looks like she's, what, in her late 20s, mid-20s maybe?
Something like that. She's already, what was it, a nanotech engineer?
Mm-hmm. She's got her life planned out already, but...
Yeah, she's got a PhD in nanotechnology. Yeah.
But and everybody else in this world remembers him... having a daughter, except for him and Firestorm, which I thought was pretty cool because, you know, they are one.
Well, that and the rest of the crew, the rest of the crew on the Wave Rider. Because that's one thing that's kind of cool. They did kind of show that, well, we've kind of thought a little bit that because with Flashpoint, nobody but Barry remembers the time before Flashpoint,
right.
Except Flashpoint did not affect anybody on the Wave Rider because they were outside of time.
They're already out of time. Exactly. Same how... anybody from Earth too. That's why Jesse still had her powers when she came back, because she was not on this Earth.
So
also meant to say there was a lot of beef going on. I'm gonna have to go back to the Arrow one, and because it also played in the Legends. Wild Dog does not like metahumans. At least he didn't at the beginning. He thought they were a menace and all of them were evil until he ended up being saved by Supergirl and Flash, and he was like, okay, you guys are cool. Now all metahumans, I guess, are evil. And then I felt like Ollie made a stupid decision in the Legends episode by telling Kara to stay behind because he doesn't feel like an alien should fight an alien. This should be something more normal. That made no sense to me. I'm like, dude, you're fighting aliens. Nothing about this is going to be normal.
it makes sense for Ollie, though. She was an unknown quantity that he couldn't control.
This is my logic, though. We're fighting aliens. Let me have I have a gun. Or I'm sorry, I have a sword and someone has a gun. I'm going to tell the person with the gun to shoot back at the person that has the other gun, because I know my sword is not going to do anything. So when Wally said that, I'm like, or Wally, I'm sorry. When Ollie said that, I was just thinking, Ollie, what the heck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a little beef between them at the beginning that eventually works its way out.
Well, the nice thing is, in these episodes, there was a lot of drama between different characters that all got resolved by the end, which is awesome. It's taking a CW trope and totally changing it. Because most CW shows, the little bit of beef that these guys had, like the main one that we've been building for a couple of episodes now between Barry and Sisko, Barry had changed time and killed Sisko's brother inadvertently.
Right. And that's when they were on the ship, too. And Felicity was like, he didn't literally kill your brother. He said, no, but he is the reason he's dead. So I guess that's just as bad.
But most CW shows would use that, and you'd have 2 or 3 years worth of drama built because of this.
Yep, they had to keep going on with the story, draw you back in for next episode to see if they'll resolve it.
Uh-huh. Well, in this, just like they have all these other times, they didn't do that. They resolved the issues, and now they're back to being buddies again.
Good. And the reason why is because of this. I'm going to have to go in a little bit of detail to explain it. The Legends being a time traveling back in time, thinking, hey, if we can do something or kidnap or somehow talk to the Dominators to understand why they're here in the first place, we can maybe figure out a way to beat them now. So get on the Wave Rider. It's Sisko, Felicity, Heatwave, Citizen Steel, and Vixen.
McRory was awesome in these show episodes.
I love him in every episode, but this just made it even better for me. He is his character. I love him. They go back in time. Mick, Sisson, Steel, and Vixen, they all try to attack the last Dominator so he can get some information. But turns out there's a general. I can't think of his name. But he tells them he doesn't care about the metahumans. He's going to take them back and capture them. And they're going to torture the alien until they can get some information out of them. Now, in the episode of Flash, there was a general that was in charge of Amanda Waller and was the one that gave them the okay go against the suicide to get the Suicide Squad going. Now you can tell this guy isn't the best trusting general. Something's fishy about him. So it turns out in this episode it's the same general. The
older guy we got to see.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Oh. I knew about the government agent guy.
Yeah, it was the same general from or the agent he became, I think. Was he a general at all? Or was he just an agent?
He was basically an agent for a clandestine government organization.
Okay, sorry, not a general. He was just an agent. Really bad, too. He was the same guy from the Flash episode that was in the Legends episode. He just got a little older, and he's still being a mean guy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like him. He hates metahumans. He hates aliens. He thinks unless you're a human, you don't belong to this Earth, unless you're a pure-blooded human.
Exactly.
So he takes them back, and they're torturing the alien. But Vibe and Felicity wind up saving the Legends, and then this is when Mick says, we're getting saved by geeks. Kill me now.
Yeah. So I love Mick's line when he first meets Supergirl, too.
Oh,
he tells her straight up, I'm not calling you Supergirl.
Well, you can call me Kara. No, I'm not using that either. That won't work. What are you going to call me? Skirt. Oh, Mick. Sisko tells them we can't just leave this alien. Sisko goes back and saves the one invader, and they talk to him. They save his life. But by doing so, instead of just leaving him alone, then the government kill him, which would have been bad, and heroes don't do that. But it would have saved the whole world because they find out the reason why the Dominators came back to Earth is because Sisko saved the one invader, and now they have intel on how dangerous metahumans can be. But not just metahumans, humans in general. If he got tortured by just one human without powers, what would a metahuman do to their race? They can't let that happen. So they come back and they want to destroy our world so they can erase us. We won't be a threat to them. So exactly. The Dominators, that's their goal. And that's what they were trying to tell them from the beginning. And they didn't understand that because they didn't go back in time. And then this is when Sisko understands time is so fragile. He probably should not be mad at Barry anymore because he just screwed up. Now the whole world is laying on their hands because they went back in time to try to save an invader. I'm sorry, a Dominator.
Yeah.
So, by the end of the episode, they're all like, hey, we all screwed up. It happens. We're heroes. And maybe we shouldn't have this power, but we'll find out because if we do good by this day, we know we deserve it.
Exactly.
And they have their superhero team up. And, of course, they win. But there was a lot of exciting fighting scenes from here. The whole team up, as my mom said, the colors, just seeing everybody in costume from... Because she's the reason why I watched... the Super Friends, seeing them in the Hall of Justice, seeing them in their costumes. She said it was like watching the cartoon all over again. But we got to see Firestorm's power increase again. There was a bomb from the Dominators that they were going to release on the Earth, but Firestorm was able to turn it into water.
Yes, and actually that wasn't the first time we've seen him transmute anything.
No, but on that big of a scale?
Yeah, because remember he did it to an atomic bomb in Russia.
Right, he turned it into water?
Yeah, he turned it into water there also.
Okay. In this one, he was like, I can't do this, Gray. Like, this is too big of a bomb. And this is the good part, by the way. Stein did not want his daughter. Stein told Caitlin, I'm going to go back in time and stop her from being created. And she's saying, but this is your daughter. He said, no, she didn't exist before. I made a mistake and I can fix it. What Barry can't do. But
that's because she's a time aberration. That's what they do. They fix the aberrations.
Right. But in this one... She's a nice soul. She's your daughter. You never had your daughter. And by the way, before I go anymore, where's his wife? Is his wife dead now?
I have no idea.
Because when he went there to find his wife, he asked his daughter, where's my wife? She said, oh, you know, she's not here, silly. So I'm thinking, is she at work? Is she on a vacation? Is she dead?
Are they not together?
Are they not together? Oh, man, that would suck. Yeah. But we'll see all that probably in the next episode of Legends. But he tells Jax... You must turn this into something else because I have a daughter on this world and I don't want her to die. So we all find out everybody's coming together and everybody's loving the person they should be or they're just putting the beef away. So they stop the bomb, the Dominators retrieve and they go back. And by the end of this, We get a new female president. They get their little speech and they pay homage to the superheroes. And everything went good. And everybody at the end goes back to their the way they came from. They get back on the Wave Rider. Supergirl goes back to Earth 38. And Barry and Ollie share a drink.
Well, the cool thing was they actually, Cisco's now built a device so that Supergirl can actually talk to them across the universes.
That's right.
And she can come cross back and forth if needed.
Right. And also everybody forgave Barry for the Flashpoint. The last person he asked if he forgave them was Diggle, because Barry told everybody, by the way, what happened with Flashpoint, why things are going the way they are. And they were all upset at Barry. They all hated Barry for a while. No one trusted him except for Ollie and Supergirl. Everybody else didn't want to have anything to do with him. Well, Stein and Jax, they didn't mind, because they let him know also what the future message of him said. But
which was interesting. The future message that they had gotten was basically him telling them, don't trust me.
Right, because I went back in time and did all this. They find out they went back in time and also screwed up, so everybody messed up. But as Diggle told Barry, Barry asked him, do you forgive me? He said, hey, man, as I've been telling Ollie for all these years, I forgive you. You're going to have to forgive yourself. And after that, Barry and Ollie share a drink, and they didn't show any previews of what's going to happen next week at the end of that. No cliffhangers, just a good ending to a good four-night crossover.
Exactly. It was. I had a great time. It was a fun ride the whole way. I think this was the perfect way to do a crossover for this many shows. I don't think they've ever done anywhere on TV this many shows crossing over all at once.
No, with this many characters, too. We even got to see Wally come in there. He was not in his Kid Flash costume, but he did save Barry for a short time before Supergirl came in and took him out.
Exactly.
And he also said, Wally, you're here? He said, no, not Wally, Kid Flash. And I was like, yes! Yes, he's going by that name now. So I'm excited to see him in his Kid Flash costume. We're going to get that in next episode. That's going to be his mid-season finale. I thought
I didn't
so.
See that.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I know we are getting Jay Garrick.
Right.
Jay's coming back in this finale.
Okay, it may not be for the mid-season finale. I thought it was. But they did they've been releasing pictures for him and Jesse Quick. So I figured they were
now that'll be fun.
Oh, they're out. Google it if you
want to
see it.
Then that may actually happen for the mid-season finale, because if they have Jay over here on this universe,
mm-hmm.
and if they can get Jesse Quick over here, and then Wally, they'll have all four Flashes
right.
together?
I think they are, because someone posted a picture of all four. They said, here's the Speedster family. Yeah, Google that, because I think that's what they're doing. If they are, that's a great way to do a mid-season finale.
Well, that's something you're going to have to put up on our Instagram, then.
Will do. I put another picture on there. Oh, that was the Fortnite crossover. It was a cute little image.
Okay.
But once I find that, I'll post that on our Instagram.
Well, moving more into the future, now, like we said, the Fortnite crossover is this week, guys. So check that out. But looking into the future of Supergirl, there's another Superman villain coming later this season. And this one, I don't know if you call him a villain as much as just a pain in the backside of anybody who meets him.
Oh, a pain in the backside from anybody that meets him. I would rather run to Bizarro on an angry day than run into this guy.
Mr. Mixius Pidalic is coming to Supergirl. Now, anybody who doesn't know who this guy is, he's from the fifth dimension. He's an imp with magical powers that make everything go bananas and crazy. And his whole motivation in the comic books is to
annoy
be
Superman.
A thorn in the backside of Superman. That's
literally,
all he wants to do. It's cause problems.
That's it. He's probably the nicest villain he's got.
Yeah.
Because he's not that big of a threat, but he's there day in and day out. He's there when Superman tries to brush his teeth.
Yeah.
He's there when Superman's trying to go to bed. He's just nag, 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 nag. Anything I can do to get on your nerves and irk you, I'm here.
That's right. Well, he was actually created. He's an old character. He was created in 1944 by Jerry Siegel himself. And artist Ira Yarborough.
And he was made to be the counterpart to Batmite for
Batman.
Well,
no, this was before Batmite. Batmite was in the 70s, I believe.
Was it? Okay, well, the idea of that character was supposed to have been him, but I guess they changed it at the last minute. They made Batmite the character we know to be for Batman, but he was supposed to have been for Superman first. But I guess they figured this was even more annoying than Batmite, because he is technically a villain. He's a bad guy, but just an annoying bad guy.
Well,
and also, I found out Gilbert Gottfried will... Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the wrong one. Live action. Sorry. They don't say who's playing the role of... I can't get that
I believe
name.
Gilbert Gottfried actually played him in... that's who played him in the Lois and Clark episodes. Because Mitch's Pitalik has actually been in just about every live action incarnation we've had of Superman since the 80s.
Right, because he was
in the Adventures of Superboy.
Right.
They had him. He was in Lois and Clark. I believe they said he had two episodes of Lois and Clark. He was in Smallville.
He was in the animated series.
I believe he had an episode in Justice League. So this is a character that's been around a long time. He's actually been all over the place. Everybody because it makes a fun episode when you can get him on here and play with him.
It is. And I found out that Gilbert Gottfried is going to come back for Justice League action. That's why I was talking about.
Oh, okay. He's playing the voice again.
Mm-hmm. I thought they were saying he's going to voice the CGI character, but we don't know who's playing it. We don't know if it's going to be CGI.
We don't even know when it is. We just know it's going to be second half of the season.
Right.
So this is going to be a fun one to see when it comes through.
And also, I have a little bit more news on Aquaman.
Okay, yeah. Let's move into a little bit of movie news. Go ahead.
Once this loads and punches up, I will let you guys know on the release date for this. Aquaman will be coming to theaters in October of 2018, October 5th. Oh, they haven't said who. Trusted Vanko will hit. No, we just know William Dafoe will be in the movie. Mira, Aquaman, and that's about it for right now. They just gave the release date. So I'm gonna assume we'll probably get a trailer some point next year, and I'm hoping we can get a trailer for Justice League, another one, before the end of this year. December, so they got a couple more weeks.
Well, I'm seeing the Justice League. We know Wonder Woman's in late winter, early spring next year. It's March, right?
No, they pushed it back. It's going to be in either April or May.
Well, then we have. There's no reason to not have a full Justice League trailer when that drops with Wonder Woman, because Justice League is November of next year.
Okay.
So you make an Aquaman teaser
a little bit less than a year
after that, or with Justice League.
Okay. Yes. Let's see. May 2016.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 2016, that's when they wrapped up the filming. Oh, okay, Wonder Woman is scheduled to be released June 2nd, 2017.
When did they move that?
Man, it's been about a month they moved that back. I was disappointed.
I didn't know they moved it back.
I wanted to put that off my mind because I was like, dang it, I want to see it. But hey, if they need more time to work on the movie and make it to the full potential it can be, I don't mind waiting.
Yeah. But we now know when Aquaman's coming. Now, we know there's a bunch of other titles still coming that we don't have full dates on. Flash is still coming. I think Flash is coming before Aquaman, though. I think that's coming in winter of 2017 or 2018. I don't remember exactly.
Okay. I don't trust when the Flash movie comes out right now because they're having some director problems. So they may need to. If they push back Wonder Woman, and it seemed like that was full front on perfect directing.
That was ready to go. I have no idea why they bumped it back.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was a finished project. So now since they bumped it back, I don't know when Flash will be coming out, especially if they are having directing problems and they're not fully done. We'll probably get another pushback. If they even push it back.
I'll bet you I know what happened with one of the things that may have happened with Wonder Woman, possibly. I got to look up IMDb real quick. Because on Geekwatch 1, we talked about this, that March is when it was supposed to be coming out, right?
Right. But there's another movie
right now is getting really, really full. For some reason, there's a lot of big titles dropping in March.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking, because I'm like, isn't a Marvel property coming out around March?
I don't know. Hang on. Let me get through here.
I think it's supposed to be the Old Man Logan story they're doing.
Yeah, Logan is supposed to be in March.
I was happy because I was saying, hey, let's see who can win the war. Is it going to be Wonder Woman or Logan? But sadly.
Well, we got Logan. You've got... There was a couple other big ones that are dropping in March that they may not have wanted to have to try to go up against. So Kong Skull Island, which is not going to be as big, but it is going to be a big one. Beauty and the Beast is March.
That's probably going to be the biggest one out of the other two movies.
Power Rangers is coming in March.
In March?
Yeah, King Arthur Legend of the Sword, that new one with Charlie Hunnam is going to be coming.
Keep going, but for me, you can stop, because with all those movies, I can totally see why they didn't want that to be in March. Then
they rounded out. Well, they're rounding it out with Scarlett Johansson and Ghost in the Shell.
Oh crap! Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Yeah.
So that,
see, I would have wasted. I wouldn't have wasted money, but I would have spent literally probably two paychecks going back and back and back to all those movies because plan on seeing.
Yeah.
So okay, that makes sense.
So, but actually, that's actually the end of our news list for this week. which is a little different. Usually we have a little bit more going on, but we had some good coverage of the DC crossovers. If you guys didn't get a chance to see them, go to the CW's app or CW.com and watch this. This was an awesome show. Even if you don't usually watch the CW shows, these were great shows.
Yeah, as I said, my mother even loved these. She really liked the crossover. She likes to see a big team ups, and to see it on TV, I said just watching on a movie screen was awesome.
Yeah. Actually, I think we're gonna call an audible here a little bit because it's getting late for us here because having to do this on a weeknight instead of regular, we're actually running out of time a little bit for once. So we're gonna this past week's comics from not the ones we're reviewing this show, but the ones for next week. There wasn't much because it was the fifth week of the month. We had Superman and Batman annuals and a Suicide Squad that came out.
And that was really it.
And that was pretty much it. So we're going to actually push this week's reviews back to next week. So you're still going to get the reviews for the comics that came out. We got four titles we had chose. We're going to do those next week with the annuals. And you'll get those on next week's show. But being that we're running a little behind, we're going to have to we're going to move over to the previews. And so that means we got to take a trip.
Mm-hmm.
And it is time for our comic shop pull list previews for this week. And as every week there, that was the comic book shop from the Shazbots. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook. Let them know the DC Superpowers sent you there. So this is actually the comics for New Comic Book Day on December 7th. We've got 9 titles, I believe, coming this week. And the first of which, I believe, were you taking the odds or am I?
I'm taking the odds.
You're taking the odds. Well, you got the first one then.
This is Aquaman issue number 12. The Deluge Part 1.
The Deluge.
It's war with the the Deluge. Thank you. I was like, never heard of that before. Found out what it was later today, though. Part 1. It's war with the undersea army of Nemo at its command. Black Manta draws the U.S. and Atlantis into war. Aquaman has been fighting to prevent. Now the Sea King races to uncover the proof of Nemo's deception before the two nations destroy each other. Felipe Barons is done with the art and written by Dan Abnett.
Awesome. Next up, we got Batman number 12. I Am Suicide Part 4. And I'm thinking these are all leading towards the Justice League Suicide Squad crossover, because that's coming up, I think, next week is the beginning of it.
Yep, and Suicide Squad is finishing up with theirs, so we're going to get that soon.
Well, this is I Am Suicide Part 4. As Bane decimates Batman's team, the Dark Knight must decide how far he's willing to go. And who is he willing to sacrifice for those he left in Gotham City? Art is by Mikael Janin, and it's written by Mikael Janin and Tom King.
Next one is Cyborg issue number 6, and this is what I was talking about earlier on the show, guys. Cyborg, with a fearsome high-tech terror cell threatening to invade the country, Cyborg participates in the creation of experimental cybernetic female counterpart, codename Cyborg, whose abilities might exceed his own. But when the process ravages her memories, Cyborg must retrieve crucial nation's security secrets from her mind before it's too late. Art done by Will Conhart and written by John Sepper Jr. Now, this I still think this character is different. It sounds like they're creating her. She is different from what we saw on the Arrow, but she's very similar. And she was a bad guy from what I know of in the comics and in the show. But this is a new character, but I guess they're erasing that when they might be mixing it. I don't know, but or she might become a bad guy. We'll see where this goes. I'm definitely picking this issue up.
Okay. Well, the next one we got for next week is Green Arrow, for this week as a recording, Green Arrow number 12, The Emerald Outlaw Part 1. A major new storyline begins as Green Arrow returns to Seattle for a brand new mission. Reclaim the life he's lost. Easy for me to say. But with Oliver Queen presumed dead, his fortune obliterated, his sister Emiko missing, and Seattle's police turning against him, death proves a bigger challenge than life for Green Arrow. The art is by Otto Schmidt and is written by Benjamin Percy.
And next we have Green Lantern's issue number 12. The Phantom Lantern, Part 4. The Phantom Lantern teams up with a villain from Jessica's past to destroy the rookie Green Lantern and her partner. But a bigger danger is on the entire Corps. Might be using this new threat as a distraction for attack on a far greater scale. Art done by Jay Listrin, Robert Rucka, and written by Sam Humphries. How many parts do you think this Green Lantern Phantom Ring might go on?
It's probably going to be 5 or 6.
I don't know if they're going to destroy the ring after all this, or we're going to let it see in different series, or
I don't know
what we're going to do about.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to destroy it.
Yeah, no. Well, no one can have this ring, obviously.
Right, but from the cover, he's destroying a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll see where this goes.
Well, the next one up we got for this week is Harley Quinn number 9. In issue 9, can anyone truly understand the mind of the world's craziest psychiatrist? Harley's about to get a shrink of her very own. What are the odds he won't go insane himself? Art is done by Michael W.M. Michael W.M. Kaluta and Brandon Peterson, and is written by Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor.
Yeah, that guy's name threw me off when I was reading. I was like, wait, what? Next, we have Justice League issue number 10, Outbreak Part 3. The identity of the Justice League's mysterious new villain is revealed as the League uncovers a shocking connection to the Kindred's invasion. This mysterious new foe ups the ante by releasing dozens of the team's enemies from prisons around the world. Art done by Damian Harquise, Neil Edwards, written by Brian Hitch.
Okay. Justice League, I've not been super... I mean, I'm usually a huge fan of Justice League. This one, it's not really been doing it for me right now.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything when I was reading that.
Even since the beginning. I've been getting it every time, but...
I don't feel a connection between them. I don't know. To me, I feel like they should have continued on with just the series that we have now and maybe have a conclusion like what we see with the Suicide Squad and Justice League. But I guess for that, we need a Justice League. But yeah. I just don't feel any connection. It's like we just had the Justice League out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's almost like they have to have a Justice League title because there has to be a Justice League title.
And I don't like that because there's no connection between them and Superman. I would like it better if we could have had more of a connection with the teammates before they just teamed up with each other. But
they can start bringing it. Hopefully, they start bringing it together. So
I think they will. After we get this Justice League Suicide Squad, I'll probably pick up more Justice League books. So I'll feel more of a connection between the teams.
So, well, next one we got up though is Nightwing number 10, Bloodhaven Part 1. Following Night of the Monster Men and his battle with Raptor, Nightwing heads to Bloodhaven for a fresh start. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, but that a little bit.
But that doesn't last long when he runs into a crew of former Bat villains. Art is done by Marcus Toe and is written by Tim Seeley. Yeah, Bloodhaven is where he was running when I first started reading Nightwing's standalone comic. When they first did his solo books, he was in Bloodhaven.
For me, he was not Bloodhaven at the time I got into Nightwing, but I did know that was basically his Gotham City. They made so many references in the Arkham Knight video or Arkham series games. I had to start reading some of those, and yeah, those are a little bit darker than Gotham, but that is his city he learns to protect. So I thought with the rebirth he was already he remembers it, but he didn't. So now we're getting to see it all over again. It's just going to be a great story.
Yeah.
Last on our list is Superman, and this is issue number 12, Sinister Purpose Part 1. Frankenstein has come. Ooh, Frankenstein has come to Hamilton County, home of Superman, and hell has came with him. It's Man of Steel versus Monster to save the life of someone in town with a horrifying secret. Art done by Jamie Mendoza, Doug Mankey, and written by Patrick Gleason and Peter J. Tomasi.
I've never read DC's Frankenstein. Have you?
I haven't read the Frankenstein, but he was in Justice League Dark, and he was their Hulk, their group type character. I couldn't think of another DC character. I want to say like Superman, but the way they work are a little different. So to see somebody like that go against Man of Steel, this is going to be really, really strange.
Awesome.
But as I remember, Frankenstein was a hero, so...
Well, yeah, he's part of the Justice League Dark.
Right, so I'm just, when they said versus, I guess they're going to have a little confrontation before they figure out, oh, he's not a bad guy, just a... Miley. He might compare him to Bizarro in here. I wonder if this Superman's going to do that, because that's all I can see right now.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. So, but that actually finishes up our comics for next week.
It does. I was going to say Superman did just have a run-in with the annual against another monster.
Yes.
So,
and then we will be covering that for next week.
Mm-hmm.
That one was really good. You haven't had a chance to read it, you said, but I loved it.
No, I seen the images in there. I'm like picking it up. At first, I didn't know. I'm like, what's the Superman annual about? Yep, Swamp Thing's in there.
Okay, Super Friends, I want to thank you guys. I know we're cutting the show a little short, but for us, this is really late tonight. So I want to thank you guys for your patience and knowing that we're trying to get this even and steady. Vernon, why don't you let everybody know where they can get a hold of us?
You can find us on our Instagram and our Facebook, DC Superpowers Podcast. And for our Twitter is Superpowers DC, at DC.
How about at Superpowers DC?
Oh, Twitter. That. What Ken said. You can find me on my personal Instagram, Howlin' at Wolf, Facebook, Brian McWayne Moore, and on Twitter, V Yellow.
And you can find me on Facebook as Ken Rose, on Twitter and Instagram as GW1Ken. You can also find the show on the networks of the Tangentbound Network at tangentboundnetwork.com and Weebie Geeks Network at weebiegeekspc.com. And then from there, you have anything else before the end of the day today, Vernon?
Yes, I was going to say I'm going to start putting more pictures, and along with the pictures I put on our Instagram, there will be stories also going along with it, so you won't just see a picture and think it's fan-made. Like right now, I'm going to post a picture of the speedsters for Flash, and I'm going to give you a little bit of detail on that. Whatever we get now from news, you just check our Instagram, DC Superpowers Podcast on Instagram, and you'll see everything. And that'll give you a little bit of an insight what we might be talking about on the show later that week.
Cool. Or what we talked about last week. You never know.
Or last week.
So, Super Friends, thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you next week.